tomorrow's news today. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
It's Monday, April 13th, 2026, and we are now in a new world war any way you slice it. America has been trapped. America has been set up. America has been fooled. President Trump knows Israel lied to him to get into the war and launch the attack, but he wants to save face. But every day he escalates the war, now with the blockade of Hormuz, he only gets us into deeper quicksand. This is COVID 2.0. This is the Great Reset. We have to attack Iran so they can close the Strait of Hormuz, so we can keep attacking Iran so they can open the Strait of Hormuz. And then we need to send in the Navy ships, even though the admirals have told Trump they'll be up by the shoreline where the short and medium range missiles and artillery can totally destroy them. Then Americans will become enraged and will be in a full ground war invasion. That's the plan to get us into full war. And above that, the globalists want that because it will cause a global depression. They're calling it COVID 2.0. And Larry Fink at BlackRock and the Rothschilds are so happy. Trump's now saying we're back at war, limited strikes. Why? We've dropped 15,000 bombs. Well, you dropped over 7 million in Vietnam and they didn't give up. And the Iranians are even more dug in and worse. As I said 40-something days ago when this started on March 1st, if the Mullahs fell in 3 days, I'd say, wow, Trump's got the magic touch. I'm not fans of them. But no, this is bigger. It's about bankrupting the U.S., having a world depression. This is all going down right now. This is a total trap. If you follow threat escalation ladder, the Pentagon studies, that's why I know all this, because it's from the Pentagon. They told him don't do it. That's on record. This escalates into full ground war, total war, and then Russia and China probably get involved. Iran is not Iraq. Iran is not Afghanistan. It is 100 times worse, and here we are. And you got all of these white pillars that say he's Jesus and he's unstoppable, and he even told Tucker 3 weeks ago, hey, everything always goes my way. Well, it ain't going your way, Trump. You've had the American people behind you. That's why you've been successful, and you've been strong and had a lot of will, did a lot of good. But now you've made a turn for the worse. Now your staff's calling you Jesus. And you're posting memes where you're Jesus. I mean, come on. This has disaster written all over it. Pull out now. Declare victory and stop listening to Netanyahu and Jared Kushner.
So that, ladies and gentlemen, was, of course, Alex Jones with a message this morning. You can find and share that on his X at Real Alex Jones. I, of course, am Harrison Smith. I'll be sitting in for Alex for the first 2 hours of today's show. We have absolutely huge news, as you just heard Alex say. We are essentially in World War III. We've got some interesting rumors about that, including a rumor that following the negotiations, the failed negotiations for the ceasefire, there may have been a little assassination planned that may have been thwarted by the participation of Chinese and Russian jets escorting the negotiators back to Iran. Again, this is unconfirmed, but these are the types of rumors flying around, as China does seem to be a big beneficiary of what's going on with Iran, and the rest of the Western world is, it seems, preparing for full-fledged deployment. We'll be covering that today. We have a lot of stories to cover today. Obviously, the Iran war is going to be first on the docket, but we're going to get into what's going on in Iran. We're going to get into what's going on here in America as the left simultaneously collapses into its own stupidity while also gets planned, you know, gears up plans for total tyranny if they ever get back in power. Gavin McGinnis will be taking over for me halfway through the show. Very big show today. Stay tuned. And then Jason Burmis will actually be taking over War Room for me today. So stay tuned. We'll actually come back after a short commercial break with another message from Alex Jones. And then we'll hit the ground running with all of today's biggest headlines. It's The Alex Jones Show, Infowars.com, band.video. Support us at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we'll be right back.
Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition, that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts, this is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Image on screen and just zoom into it very, very slowly. Trump posted yesterday on Truth Social the classic image of Jesus in his triumphant robes, the white and the red, coming down to an injured soldier, and in one of his hands he has the flame of life and he's healing him. And you have other soldiers, female soldiers, looking up to him like he's God, and one of them is praying to him. And I noticed in one of the comments, oh, how dare you, that's not really what it is. You need to watch out. He's just a servant of God. No, this is a theme from the White House, from Hegseth, and from Trump's spiritual advisor, the Pentecostal lady, the evangelical dispensationalist, that he is Jesus. Okay? So here's my deal. I don't like the turn of events with Trump. The Democrats are the enemy. We're opposing them. We need Trump to be good, not bad. This is insane. And to see people defend this stuff, you had Tucker a week ago saying, could he be the Antichrist? I'm like, oh, come on. Well, definitely this is not a Christian spirit that we see coming into this. Now, listen, I know some of the stuff they post on Truth Social, it's turned out a lot of it's not Trump, okay? I'm not giving him an out. He needs to be clear and say there's only one king, that's King Jesus. He's the Lord and Savior. And explain, you know, we have a lot of fun on Truth Social. He showed himself with the Pope and all that stuff. And I get Trump's jokes. You know, Trump came out today and said he may rename the Strait of Hormuz the Trump Strait. Okay? But then, again, we just, with all this background, we can't sit here and accept this. So people are really pissed. And I'll say this. Whoever's pushing this narrative, who's come up with this messaging, knows this will turn people off to Trump. Okay? Because I don't think Trump came up with this theme, and I've seen at least 10 times last month that he's Jesus out of the White House. I mean, this is crazy. And I told you about the threat escalation letter. That Trump goes in, the Moodles don't fall, they close the strait, he tries to go free it with the blockade, that actually keeps it closed, and then inflation explodes and it kills the recovery plan, which the globalists want, which has now happened. That is the facts. No one can defend him. No one can defend whoever is saying he's Jesus. And that's what this is, so don't deny it. Don't try to gaslight. Trump needs to clarify this right now. And we need to get out of this war and de-escalate right now. They admit that it was Netanyahu calling in, killing the negotiation with Kushner, and killing the peace deal. This is insane.
So that, again, is the latest from Alex Jones responding to a post from Donald Trump on Truth Social in which he depicts himself as Jesus. Pretty obviously, not exactly a subtle post from Donald Trump. And again, Alex Jones is exactly right. We do need desperately to have a champion in the White House. We need Donald Trump to do what's necessary. There's still time. Maybe there might still be time for Trump to pull this out of the fire and actually do something that could not only get us out of the Iran war, maybe achieve some of the promises that he made on the campaign trail, and potentially, maybe, you know, with a miracle or two in tow, we could potentially save the House and the Senate in 2026 from going over to the Democrats and just making everything Trump does a lame duck operation. But we'll see. But we shall see. We'll talk about that. We're going to get into everything that has to do with the Iran war today. But there is also a lot of political news to get into, including Eric Swalwell dropping out of the California governor race because of blackmail, essentially. Also, all of Europe is sort of in an uproar right now, with Ireland on the cusp of all-out civil war. Britain also facing, you know, massive protest over fuel restrictions as a consequence of the Iran war. And I'll say again, like I said yesterday, all of this makes perfect sense if you understand that the ultimate purpose of the war in Iran, it's manifold, but one of the primary ones is as a vector to get to World War III, to finish out the triumvirate, the trilogy that we've been living through, World War I, World War II, to get the UN, all of these sort of incrementally stepping towards globalism, and finally World War III, to bring the hammer down, slam the jail cell shut, and create the global prison planet panopticon that we've been warning about forever. That is where it's going, and I've got videos to show you to prove that that's exactly it. But on the topic of Donald Trump and the insanity of Donald Trump, and that does increasingly seem to be what is on display here. Obviously, on Friday, it was Friday, right? Alex Jones was attacked along with Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, Megyn Kelly, Marjorie Taylor Greene by Donald Trump. And it's been a lot of pushback to that. It's flailing and flailing of a failing regime at this point. And we've been warning about this feedback loop for a while now, in which somebody in power like this starts making bad decisions, but everybody around him is afraid to say that they're bad decisions. Anybody who tries to tell him the truth is perceived as an enemy, and you enter into this feedback loop that only ends in disaster, in complete and total disaster, unless somebody can slap him with reality, give him a honest-to-God reality check, and get us back on track. But it's not just the posting memes of himself as Jesus. He's criticizing the Pope, posting himself as Jesus. Of course, on Easter, he's writing praise Allah and threatening to genocide an entire nation. Other people have noticed that this picture was originally posted by somebody else in February of this year, and yet the one Trump put has been altered. And if the crew can bring up that image, this is the one that Donald Trump posted to his Truth Social. And right in the middle, sort of above Trump's head, in the original image, it's just soldiers sort of in heaven with the sun behind them. But this one has some sort of bizarre editing that makes the soldier in the center look like he has wings or maybe a crown, almost like the Statue of Liberty, which of course some say is a interpretation of a drawing of a painting of Lucifer. So that is sort of inexplicable, sort of unexplained. And I don't know if the crew can find the original one posted, but the original one just looks like a regular soldier. In this one, I don't know why, but he's got, you know, something strange has been manipulated through AI before being posted. Very strange. But this type of stuff, this type of posting, this type of content is not the only piece of evidence that we are being run by potentially a dangerously egotistical person. Let's go to clip number three here. This is Donald Trump on a Sunday show, sort of talking about some of the decisions he's made during the Iran war. And it's extremely troubling. I think you'll understand why. Yeah, there's the edit right there. So again, why would you edit it like this? What is that even supposed to be? People are showing that it looks like it's Lucifer. Again, it would be a bit overt to do something like this, but then again, maybe that's the point. I don't know. What I do know is that Donald Trump is making decisions that are genuinely insane. So let's go to clip number three here. This is Donald Trump explaining his rationale behind some of the attacks on Iran recently. Let's watch.
We have on this, and you know, as Bibi Netanyahu said, we're the big brother and they're the small brother. And, you know, it's been a very effective very effective team. What we've done in a literally in a matter of days, within 3-4 days, Iran essentially was wiped out. And it's so sad, though, when the press says they are fighting bravely. They're not fighting bravely. They have no anti-aircraft. We fly over there at will, can take out anything we want. As you know, last week I said we're going to strongly consider knocking out their power plants and the rest of their bridges. We took down their big bridge, but we just did that because we were having good discussions, and they go to the press. They're very good with public relations, much better with public relations than they are at fighting. They go to the press, and they say, President Trump said it's okay for us to have a nuclear weapon, when I never even spoke to him. And by the way, that would be the only thing I would never say to them. And they know that.
Right.
And then the New York Times, which is
So that's Donald Trump saying a bunch of stuff that just none of it makes any sense, to be quite honest with you. He's talking about, yeah, we wiped out Iran in 3 days. Okay, how long? We need to count up here. What is it, 50 days, 45 days of war? We were done in the first 3 days. We've just been having fun the last 42. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. Talking about Iran or talking about Israel and America like a big brother and a little brother. Like, not really. No, it's more like big brother and some dude that takes advantage of and hurts the brother. We are not brothers. What are you talking about? But all of that is minor to the real claim he just made, which was that they blew up Iran's quote-unquote big bridge because he was embarrassed by the press. What? What are you talking about? He literally just said, yeah, we blew up their big bridge because, you know, they went on in the press and said that I told them they could have a nuclear weapon when I didn't. And so you blew up a bridge. Well, what are you talking about? What are we talking about here? The chaos, the deception, the mismanagement, the just utter and relentless failure that this entire Iran war represents. It's not even a matter of, are you on our side or are you on their side? It's like, if I agreed with absolutely every goal of the Iran war, I'd be pissed. And I'd be basically against the Iran war. Right? If I actually thought that Iran was this big, dangerous, you know, enemy that must be destroyed, it's like, then this was the worst way to do it. You're not doing it. If I thought we were in a civilizational conflict with Islam, that this was the great, you know, conflict between Christianity and Islam, the crusade, it's like, then you're doing it wrong. You're doing it very wrong. Again, we just have endless headlines to tell you that. So I just want to make that point that, like, people misconstrue this. I don't know what goes on in their mind, but they take somebody like me presenting a unbiased, factual reading of how things stand right now and say, this is not going well. We are not winning. This was not a good idea. We are being screwed by Israel, and Iran has essentially got us in checkmate. And people have the idea that that makes me an Iran supporter, or that I somehow hate America. Again, I don't even understand what they're talking about. But just to clarify, I want America to do well, which is why I'm against the war in Iran. I don't want China to become our equal on the world stage as we become a multipolar world order. But that's exactly what's happening as a consequence of the Iran war. So stop letting people who do not have your best interests in mind trick you into thinking that this has anything to do with the benefit of America, the American people, Donald Trump. I mean, it's all designed almost exclusively to destroy America and destroy Western Europe. And I'll explain exactly why this is so dangerous here in just a second. Oil tops $100, safe haven dollar gains as U.S. moves to blockade Iran. Just wild. U.S. gas prices set to climb on Trump's naval blockade. Iran and the U.S. were inches away from a deal in Pakistan, Iraqchi reveals. as he says, what stalled the negotiations. Talk between Iran and the U.S. in Islamabad ended without a deal, despite being, quote unquote, inches away. Disputes over nuclear limits and U.S. demands stalled progress, while Pakistan urged both sides to maintain the ceasefire and continue dialogue. Iran's Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi on Sunday said that Tehran had been inches away from a deal with Washington during weekend talks with the United States and Pakistan's Islamabad. He accused the U.S. of, quote, maximalist shifting goalposts and blockade. But when just inches away from an agreement in Islamabad, quote, we engaged maximalism, shifting goalposts and blockade. Iran engaged the U.S. in good faith to end war, he said in a post on X. Araghchi also wrote that in intensive talks at highest level in 47 years, Iran engaged with U.S. in good faith to end the war. But when just inches away, we encountered maximalism, shifting goalposts and blockade. Zero lessons earned. Goodwill begets goodwill. Enmity begets enmity. Iran President Pezeshkian echoed similar statements and wrote on X, if the American government abandons its totalitarianism and respects the rights of the Iranian nation, ways to reach an agreement will certainly be found. I commend the members of the negotiating team, especially Dr. Kalibaf, says God give you strength. So apparently we are on the cusp. It seems like we constantly find ourselves on the cusp of an agreement with Iran, on the verge of peace, and we just pull away at the last second. And it seems to happen over and over again, and it seems to usually be at the behest of, or as a consequence of, engagement by Israel. Barak Ravid on X, who is known widely as the Israeli Mossad stenographer, says Netanyahu at cabinet meeting, quote, I spoke yesterday with Vice President J.D. Vance. He called me from his plane on the way back from Islamabad. He reported to me in detail, as this administration does every day, about the development of the negotiations. In this case, the explosion came from the American side, which could negotiate Iran's blatant violation of the agreement to enter the negotiations. The agreement was that they would cease fire and the Iranians would immediately open the gates. They did not do that. The Americans could not accept that. He also made clear to me that the main issue on the agenda for President Trump in the United States is the removal of all enriched material and ensuring that there is no more enrichment in the coming years. And that would be decades. So enrichment within Iran, that is their focus. And of course, it is also important to us. So that actually confirms directly what Joe Kent said in his resignation letter about the shifting goalposts imposed by Israel. Go watch his interview with me where we detailed this extensively, that forever the agreement had been no nuclear weapons, and that goalpost had been shifted to where the Iranians were telling the Trump administration any enrichment at all means that they're going for a nuclear weapon, so we have to go for zero enrichment. That was a change in policy, a change in demand from the Trump administration that the Iranians never said they'd agree to. And doesn't really make a lot of sense. So actually, Joe Kent responded to this statement from, the quote from Benjamin Netanyahu, saying upcoming negotiations will fail if we don't restrain the Israelis and stop giving them access to our decision making. The Israelis push for zero uranium enrichment because they know it's a poison pill for Iran and will result in the war continuing. Iran has committed to not developing or obtaining nuclear weapons since 2003. A deal can be reached about uranium enrichment levels and monitoring, ending the war and opening the Strait of Hormuz. This can only happen if we treat the Israelis like the junior partner and put our interests first. So again, just sort of doubling down on the statement that he made during his resignation and in the subsequent interviews about the need for us to simply take our own side, ignore the demands or subjugate the demands of Israel to our demands. Pretty simple. But that apparently is not what happened. And again, the suspicion is, and the rumor is, that they were on the cusp when a phone call from Benjamin Netanyahu, he says, oh yeah, J.D. Vance gave me a call on the plane on the ride away. Oh, okay. All right. So you didn't call him maybe during the negotiations. We weren't maybe on the cusp of an agreement when you swept in either with blackmail or some sort of other pressure point to scuttle the ceasefire talks that America really wants, J.D. Vance really wants, the American people really want, Iran seems to want, but that Israel doesn't want. This was all coincidence, you're telling me? I don't believe you. I simply don't believe you. Because this keeps happening over and over and over and over and over again. And then you've got clip 15 here. This was the announcement of the failed ceasefire negotiation. And of course, many people are pointing out and noticing that old Jared Kushner, who is not a member of the American government, does not have an official role in the American government, has never been approved by the Senate as any other presidential appointee would, has never even really made it clear what his, you know, top priority is. I mean, he's taken no oath to uphold the, you know, interest of America over anything. He's literally just some dude that's family friends with Benjamin Netanyahu and has been since childhood, and is basically there representing the private Israeli interests, only doing so under the color of the American flag. At least that's the feeling that people get when they see him hardly able to contain a smirk, even though what he's announcing should be embarrassing and a failure and honestly a tragedy, because had these negotiations worked, we probably would have avoided whatever death and destruction comes as a result of the failure of the talk. So here's a guy who just failed to get peace, who just failed in his supposed mission on behalf of America, who just failed to find an off-ramp of what could very well become the deadliest war of all time in an earth-destroying World War III. And he seems unable to contain his glee. Let's watch. So again, people just noticing that while J.D. Vance looks, appropriately dour, appropriately serious about this, Jared Kushner is slinking around in the background like an alien from Signs, grinning and smirking knowingly, along with Steve Witkoff. And of course, remember, Steve Witkoff was being interviewed with Jared Kushner about Gaza and accidentally let it slip that the creation of the Board of Peace and the annexation, essentially, of Gaza into Israel was the fulfillment of, you know, over 2 years of planning. And that's when Jared Kushner kind of gives him the side eye and is like, not really, don't say that, Steve. It's like, yeah, the war hadn't been going on for 2 years. What he revealed was that not only was the Gaza war the intended outcome of the false flag operation of October 7th, but that war with Iran and America having a Pyrrhic victory and basically being destroyed in our war against Iran, this was always the plan the entire time. And the plan was always to have this conflict become the wider... I mean, how long have we been talking about the World War III divisions? I mean, it's been obvious for a while. But everything the American deep state has been engaged in for the last decade has been driving America, NATO, and some of our, you know, controlled countries against Russia, China, and Iran. They've just been driving towards us with everything they've got, everything that we've seen from the Ukraine war to the overthrow of Assad in Syria to the insane genocidal activity in Gaza. It's all been in service of this ultimate clash of civilizations, which is intended to result in mass death, with the outcome eventually being a one-world government of totalitarian control that will exist forever. That's what they're pushing towards, and I'll show you videos on the other side where every Western military leader now is reflecting exactly the same talking points about how we are about to get into a big-time conventional global war. They are making preparations. They do not care what you think about it. They are not asking permission. They are starting World War III. They are burning the world down. They do intend to rule over the ashes. We'll be right back.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it. I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 million people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where to put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultra methylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think of methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on it since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexshow.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshow.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells. The methylene blue and iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Sweet dreams are made of these. Who am I to disagree?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The Alex Jones Show. I'm Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Gab McGinnis will take over for me in the third hour of today's program. Jason Burmis will be hosting The War Room for me. And then we'll be showing an extended cut of Alex's appearance on the Sean Johnson podcast in the final hour of the War Room today. But we've got a lot to cover on the Alex Jones Show. We're going to continue with the Iran war, and then I'm going to get into sort of where it goes from here and the plans of the elite to throw all of Western Europe and America into a conventional global war against China and Russia and Iran, with the ultimate goal of finishing off a huge number of us, as well as getting everything else that they want. It's the Great Reset 2.0, and it's going to make the COVID lockdown look like a walk in the park. And of course, this weekend, one of the big topics of conversation was the attack on Alex Jones and others by Trump last week. And we've been over it a lot. I don't think I need to relitigate it once again. But I do want to go to a video of Nick Fuentes responding to it, because I think he has a good response to it. Clip number 17 here. This is Nick Fuentes defending Alex Jones from Donald Trump. And I think he's exactly right. Let's watch.
And we've all seen it. How many shows has Alex Jones gone to the mat for Trump? In spite of what he knew, in spite of his reservations, in spite of his concerns, how many shows and how much flack did he get? And I say this because I'm most aware of Alex Jones' body of work. How much has Alex defended Trump, fought for Trump, went to Stop the Steal, supported him in 2016, said it was imperative to support him in 2024, defended him from the witch hunt, from the Russia investigation. And by the way, even when it was hard, even when it was difficult, when he was destroyed by the left and lost everything, and Trump was no help, Trump did not give Alex Jones a pardon preemptively, when he could have after January 6th. Trump did not try to assist him in getting censored off of the internet in his first term, and Trump has done nothing in the second term to help Alex Jones in this ridiculous lawsuit and ongoing witch hunt in other matters from the DOJ and from the left. And this is how Alex is rewarded. Think of that. This is how he is rewarded. Trump doesn't help him. Trump doesn't do anything for him, and Alex has no influence. Instead, Trump is going to throw him under the bus literally the second that Alex expresses disagreement with Trump over a policy, which, by the way, Trump himself campaigned against. What does it tell you? This is the same thing that I have been saying from the beginning. From the beginning of this show, since the 2024 election, about Trump, and it is this: take your own side. Why are people loyal to Trump? Why would you be loyal to Trump? Do you not see who this person is? Trump is not a loyal person. He isn't, and never has been, ever. Hello? When will people wake up and realize this is not a loyal person? Trump is a treacherous person and always has been. Look at all of Trump's closest allies over the past 10 years. People like Jeff Sessions, people like Ann Coulter, people in the Trump organization. How many people have gotten involved with Trump? They were the first to endorse him, like Sessions, like Ann Coulter. How many people got sued, like Bannon, like Mike Flynn, like his campaign manager, whose name I forget right now? How many of these people got involved with Trump, lost everything, sacrificed everything on his behalf, were destroyed, only to be discarded, only to be backstabbed, thrown under the bus? It happens over and over again. And this is just what you come to expect with Trump. It's the scorpion and the frog. You can't take it personally. You can't hold it against him. It's in his nature. It's what he does. He stings these people. And you don't have to be mad about it, and you don't have to moralize about it, but you recognize this is a person in politics. He is not our friend. He is not the savior of Western civilization. He's not God. He's not your boss. He's not your dad. He's a politician.
He's not your dad. He's not your boss. He's a politician. That's really the way to think about it. Again, it's not personal, and it's not like we're about to become the left, right? And some people do that, right? Some people, you can tell that they've sort of wanted to turn on Trump for a while, but they've held back. And as soon as they turn on Trump, it's like they literally just become the left. They literally just go from like, yeah, Trump number one, to like, he's got small hands and he works for Russia. And it's like, we're not doing any of that crap. Really, if Trump turned things around, if he stopped just continually, relentlessly destroying everything he's ever been given, destroying his legacy, destroying the possibility that we pull America out of the fire before we're burned to ash. We want him to succeed. We need him to succeed. And we're not about to, you know, become the left and the crap they say about Donald Trump. No, this is a matter of policy, and it's important that we stake our claim and that we plant our flag and we say, no, this is what we believe. And if you're against that, you're against us. It doesn't matter who you are. One of these flags would be America needs to stop prioritizing Israel and needs to stop going to war in the Middle East. We need to focus on the home front and solving the existential problems that we have here in America that are only getting worse and seem to have accelerated under the second Trump administration. Does this sound like unreasoning, low IQ, you know, what a nut job stuff? No, this is we made a deal, you broke the deal. This is we had an understanding, you betrayed it. You shouldn't have. That's the answer if you're mad of all of us, you know, jumping off the Trump train. The Trump train's off the rails. There's no point in being on it anymore. And at this point, it seems to be working directly against us. It's tragic, but that's just the case. We could go into more on this, but I guess this one phrase sort of sums it all up. Low IQ, folks. We're just low IQ. We're just big dummies. We just don't understand. We just can't possibly conceive of the big brain takes about how going to war with Iran was actually super intelligent 5D chess, and we're totally going to take their oil, and we're going to own China at the end of this. We're just too stupid to understand how that works, just like we were too stupid to understand how the Strait of Hormuz was never going to be shut. See, we said the Strait of Hormuz would be shut as soon as we started an open conflict with Iran. That's just how low IQ we were. We were so dumb, we didn't trust the experts. We're so low IQ, we didn't understand how a virus came from a wet market down the street from a level 4 bioweapons lab with a history of safety violations. That's our low IQ thinking going on here. So this is a new hat from thealexjonesstore.com. It's a simple message, comes across low IQ. It lets people know, lets people who you deal with out there in the real world, maybe they need to take it easy on you. You know, you're one of these types of people that think that a guy that ran on making America great again and avoiding Middle East wars, then turning around and going to war in the Middle East is a bad thing. They just let you know that you're that dumb. You're that stupid. You're that low IQ. You just can't figure it out. And the reason I love this is not just because it's the insult that Donald Trump said that we are now co-opting and owning. It's also the only argument I've heard for the last month. This is it. And I've ranted about this over and over on the War Room, but it's perpetual and continuous and very annoying. So I'm sitting here making very obvious to me, reasonable arguments that are then proven out over and over again, like the Strait of Hormuz closing. And every time, instead of arguing back, instead of responding to the points I make, instead of illustrating to me where I may be missing the mark, I'm instead told that I'm retarded. I'm instead told that I'm just too stupid. I'm too low IQ to understand the sophisticated operation at play here. But I'm not. See, this is the thing. It's like how Donald Trump in his insult post says that the First Lady of France is more beautiful than Candace Owens. It's like, all right. You could have said a lot of stuff. You could have said a lot of things. You could have really tried to phrase that in a way that made sense. But no, you just said that Candace Owens is less attractive than Brigitte Macron, which means you're lying. Which means you're full of crap and cannot be trusted about whatever you're saying. So it's that type of thing. It's like, you can call me low IQ all you want. Do you think LeBron James gets mad if you say he's bad at basketball? You know? And this really is how it feels. And I again, don't know how to express this to people that use this insult. But like, imagine if you were to go out and write a post saying that the sky is blue. Or what, water is wet, you know, whatever. The sky is blue. And then you had a bunch of people in your comments going, you idiot. I can't believe you think the sky is blue, you moron. Are you going to start questioning yourself? Are you going to go, wait, am I stupid? I mean, these guys, they're so, I don't know. I thought the sky was blue, but now they're telling me I'm done for blue. No, you would just be like, what? You'd just be like, oh, no, but the sky's, what are you talking about? It doesn't even make sense to to call me stupid for this. It's just abundantly true. What are you talking about? That's how it feels. It's literally how it feels to just say the truth and have a bunch of people call you dumb. So we'll wear it with honor. We will wear it with a badge of honor. We're just too stupid to understand. We're too low IQ to understand the brilliant move that going to war with Iran was and that staying to war in war with Iran is. So you can get that new hat at thealexjonesstore.com. Keep us on the air and in the fight. It is the only way that we get any support at all. Let's go down to clip number five here. This is Benjamin Netanyahu himself actually saying the thing about being kept up to date, receiving updates continually from the Trump administration, like he is the one in charge. Again, just absolutely infuriating and sort of a slap in the face of anybody who actually believes in American sovereignty. Here's Benjamin Netanyahu.
I spoke yesterday with Vice President J.D. Vance. He called me from his plane on the way back from Washington. He reported to me in detail, as the people of this administration do every day, on the development of the negotiations. In this case, the explosion in the negotiations, the explosion came from the American side, which was not willing to tolerate the blatant violation of the agreement to enter negotiations by Iran. Essentially, the agreement was that there would be a ceasefire and Iran would immediately open the crossings. They didn't do that. The Americans were not willing to accept it. He also conveyed to me that the central issue on the table from the perspective of President Trump and the United States is the removal of all enriched material and ensuring that there is no more enrichment in the coming years, and this could be for decades.
So again, that's just total confirmation of what Joe Kent said about the way that Israel was leaning on the Trump administration to move the goalposts, move the ultimate ask that they were demanding of Iran, with the intention of prolonging this war, because they need to prolong the war. Their survival depends on them taking out Iran right now. They do not have 5 years to come back in 5 years to try again. They're losing their support in America. They need to do it right now. They are not going to give up, and they will go to any lengths to achieve this. We are in very, very high alert, false flag territory as we speak. Now, apparently Donald Trump is doing a press conference and answering some questions about Iran and other things. Let's go ahead and go to that live. This is happening in D.C., I understand.
Thoughts planned with Iran, and if so, will you send Vice President J.D. Vance with?
Well, he's done a good job. It's Steve and Jared, they've all done a very good job. And I can tell you that we've been called by the other side. They'd like to make a deal very badly. Very badly.
What was the sticking point over? You said it was over nuclear.
It was over nuclear. Very similar. Yeah, very good. I guess you're listening. It's over the fact that they will never have a nuclear weapon. Iran, you marking it down? Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. And we agreed to a lot of things, but they didn't agree to that. And I think they will agree to it. I'm almost sure of it. I am sure of it. If they don't agree, there's no deal. There'll never be a deal. Iran will not have a nuclear weapon, and we're going to get the dust back. We'll get it back either. We'll get it back from them, or we'll take it.
Mr. President, as far as the naval blockade is concerned, what's the end game? Is it to force Iran back to the negotiating table? Is it to open up the strait so that gas prices ultimately come down?
Maybe everything. I mean, both of those things, certainly, and more. We can't let a country blackmail or extort the world, because that's what they're doing. They're really blackmailing the world. We're not going to let that happen. And, you know, the amazing thing is can you believe this? We don't use the strait. We don't need the strait. We have our own oil and gas, much more than we need. We have more oil and gas than Saudi Arabia. Think of this. We produce more Saudi Arabia and add Russia to it. Substantially more. And by next year, we'll have double that amount. So we don't need it, but the world needs it. And many ships are heading to our country right now as we speak to load up with the best. Really, I guess you could say, somebody said the best and sweetest. I don't know exactly what sweet is, but when it relates to oil, it's a good thing. But they're coming to our country right now. There are many boats coming to our country. Now, it could very well be this is going to be settled before then. We've been called this morning by the right people, the appropriate people, and they want to work a deal. They would like to work a deal.
Is it your anticipation, Mr. President, that other countries will assist in this effort to blockade Iran and those?
Yeah, other countries are going to also.
Which countries, sir?
We don't need other countries, frankly, but they've offered the services. We'll let it be known probably tomorrow.
Has the blockade started, sir?
Yeah, started. 10 o'clock.
Bishop Robert Barron. Bishop Robert Barron supports you and your policies. He praises you for defending religious freedom.
Yeah.
He now says you owe Pope Leo an apology. Will you apologize?
No, I don't, because Pope Leo said things that are wrong. He was very much against what I'm doing with regard to Iran, and you cannot have a nuclear Iran. Pope Leo would not be happy with the end result. You have hundreds of millions of people dead, and it's not going to happen. So I can't. I think he's very weak on crime and other things. So I'm not. I mean, he went public. I'm just responding to Pope Leo. And, you know, his brother is a big MAGA person, and he's a great guy, Lewis. And I said, I like Lewis better than I like the Pope. Now, you have to have law and order in our country, and that's what we have now. We have the lowest crime numbers we've had in a long time, despite the fact that many criminals were allowed into our country. But we've gotten a lot of them out. They've done a great job on crime. So we have the lowest murder rate in 125 years, since 1900, the lowest murder rate. So we believe strongly in law and order, and he seemed to have a problem with that, so there's nothing to apologize for. He's wrong. The other thing is he didn't like what we're doing with respect to Iran, but Iran is wants to be a nuclear nation so they can exterminate the world. Not going to happen.
And Mr. President, about Iran, the classified deal is not reached by the end of the ceasefire. Does your threat from before still stand?
Yeah, I don't want to comment on that, but it won't be pleasant for them. Let me put it that way.
Do you still plan to charge a toll?
Has your timetable changed in any way in terms of ending this conflict?
No, it's going on. Because right now, there's no fighting. Right now, we have a blockade. They're doing no business. I didn't like seeing boats come out if they were doing business with Iran, but if they weren't, no boats came out. So now Iran is doing absolutely no business, and we're going to keep it that way very easily. Don't forget, their Navy is gone, their Air Force is gone, their anti-aircraft is gone, their radar is gone, and their leaders are gone. It's a lot.
Do you still want to charge them?
Coming from predominantly going to China, Mr. President, have reached out and maybe...
No, but we have a very good relationship with China. He would like to see this ended off. He certainly wants it ended. Everyone, I want to see it ended too, but we can't give a nuclear weapon to a group of people that have caused nothing but havoc for 47 years. Look, I'm the president that's done something about it. This should have been, and many other presidents regret that they didn't. Yeah, so I'm doing something.
President, Ukraine impeachment documents that were just declassified show that Eric Chiaramella not only submitted false information, but that he had no direct knowledge of the alleged conversation. All of your state. Do you feel vindicated by those?
Yeah, documents? I do. They're a bunch of crooked people. You're talking about with respect to all of the things that they put against me?
Yeah.
Well, it's come out that in so many different ways. Thank you very much for that question. I appreciate it. But in so many different ways, the election was rigged. The 2020 election was rigged. We found that out. What you just said is just a piece of that. Mm-hmm. It's a big piece, but minor, relatively speaking, compared to what
Trump has no idea what's going on. That's not at all what she was talking about. She's talking about the revelation from John Solomon and releases from Tulsi Gabbard about Eric Chiaramella, the whistleblower from the Trump's impeachment over the Ukraine phone call. Nothing to do with 2020. This happened in 2018, 2019. He apparently has no idea about this. Again, this is the danger. And this is the impression I get when I'm watching Trump. First of all, the man looks tired. The man looks gray in a way that he never has before. He's showing the office in a way that he never has before. Of course, it was always surprising because every president gets into office and immediately ages 10 years. Classic images of Obama, you know, 3 years apart. He goes from looking like a bright young man to a weathered old man. Donald Trump never showed that, but he's starting to. It seems like something about the last couple of months seems to be weighing on him, and the stresses seem to be getting to him. But clearly he is not being kept up to date on things. He thinks this was about the stolen election in 2020. That's not what she's talking about. She's talking about the impeachment with Adam Schiff and others. Now, maybe he just hasn't been briefed on that yet, but I think it goes to show that he's disconnected, that he's not actually keeping his finger on the pulse and doesn't actually get what's going on around the country. And the statements that he makes about Iran there, I think he believes them. And I think if you really listen to what he just said and take it for granted that he was telling the truth as far as he sees it, it kind of makes sense. It makes sense. If he genuinely thinks that he is preventing Iran from getting a nuclear weapon and quote unquote destroying the world with it, like, where is he getting this from? It's just completely insane for him to believe this stuff. But if he actually believes it, it kind of makes sense. It's kind of making things make sense. That if he's sitting there going, I'm doing something that is saving tens of millions of people's lives, and these people just don't get it. They want me to be worried about, you know, a couple of dead U.S. soldiers. I'm saving tens of millions of people right now. Now, if he really believes that, it at least goes some way to understand his mindset and make sense of his actions. But that's a lie. But he's believing lies. That really is the only question at this point, is he knowingly lying or is he being lied to? And it seems like with all of the evidence that we've gotten over and over again, he is being lied to. Why he would believe these lies, God only knows. He believed the lies that Benjamin Netanyahu told him about how quick and easy this attack would be. It's actually kind of funny. They ask him, has your timetable changed? It's like, and he's like, no, not really. It kind of has. It kind of has, if you think about it. I mean, the timetable was originally a couple days. Then they said, actually, this will take 4 weeks. Now we're in the sixth week. So the timetable has changed, Trump. And of course, last week he gave a primetime address where he claimed, like he did right there, that Iran's anti-aircraft capability has been totally destroyed. They've got no radar, no missiles, no nothing. And then they shot down an A-10 Warthog and an F-35. And we had to mount an emergency rescue mission that I don't even think actually happened in the way that they said it did. So how can we believe that? Again, when you say something and then it is just proven to be untrue, and then you keep saying that thing, and you're just lying. So, like, why? Why are you lying so blatantly? And I guess, if he thinks he's saving tens of millions of people's lives, but it's like, you're not, Trump. No, you're driving us towards the conflict that will end in hundreds of millions of people dying, because the insane people trying to take over the world are called Israel, and they're playing you like a damn violin, like a fiddle. You are now the fiddle on Benjamin Netanyahu's knee. We'll be right back, folks.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at thealexjonesstore.com that'll 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexjonesstore.com, and they're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. This is one of the most popular, long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexjonesstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, last up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill, a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. It's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Bigly and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax from having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode. And this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.